Obviously, we have different times that we try to get our missionary candidates and missionaries in, and so I have a special connection with this one here, and I have already appreciated the role that he has played there at camp. Nick Hill is my son-in-law, and Brenna and Hazel are with us as well this morning, and I have so appreciated his intentionality of what he's trying to do there. I don't think he's coming just to give me a hand, just to kind of impress the father-in-law. That ship has sailed. You know, he's married to my daughter, so that doesn't matter anymore. But the intentionality of trying to serve the church in a unique camp ministry is a challenging thing to do. And the thoughtfulness and the intentionality he has brought to it, and just the willingness to do whatever needs to be done. I have been in a very busy season this year, and it has been a tremendous blessing. Probably the Lord did this for a reason, because I might not have been able to let go as easily had I not been as busy. But for me to be able to just trust and say, "You've got this, let me know if you have any questions," has been an amazing blessing and a comfort for me. And he's done a great job. And I've already seen the fruits of what he's been doing. I think a lot of junior campers coming up these next 2 weeks will see that. Our staff has started to see that. And I pray that for years to come, churches will be able to see and appreciate that. So Nick, thanks for being here. Why don't you come and share about your ministry with us and what God's laid on your heart.
Well, I'm glad he's okay with me asking questions, because I have had plenty. But it has been a blessing, the start we've had at camp, being there officially full-time for a couple of weeks now. But it's been a pretty amazing couple of years how God has led and directed Brenna and I. So we are glad to be here this morning. Like he mentioned, it's a busy time, so we were glad we could fit it in amidst the schedule. Campers are here tomorrow, so it's or we'll be at camp tomorrow, and so it's an exciting time. Certainly, it's many of us are feeling the effects of the busy season, but we're excited. So I guess what you get this morning is raw and genuine, because we're in the middle of it. So in a sense, it makes a lot of sense to come and speak to you now. So I'm grateful for that. Brent and I are glad to be here. I recognize most of you, or many of you, know her, and perhaps have known her for a long time. Longer than I, in fact. For myself, though, some of you know me, and some of you I've been able to know really since I started going to camp. Pastor, that was my first camp attending, was junior high, a camp he was directing. And so there's a lot of full circle things that I could speak to when it comes to Peniel, God bringing us up, using the ministry in our lives, moving us back to the ministry to be involved, and I'll speak to a couple of those things. But just to introduce myself a little bit, give you a little bit of background, I appreciate the introduction from my own father-in-law. I come out of London, Ohio, where my dad has pastored a church for many, many years, more years than I've been alive. I think he's been there for a little shy of 40 now. And I rounded out the family. I was the eighth child. I think when I was born, they either said, "We can't do any better than this," and they stopped. Maybe they said, "It doesn't get any worse than this." I don't know. Either way, they stopped. And so I grew up in that sort of environment, pastor's family, seven older siblings, homeschool. That was kind of the environment I grew up in. And so for Peniel, when that first came on the scene, it was a little bit of a culture shock for me, because there's a lot of logistical challenge when you're the pastor of a small church and have a big family to try to create a lot of those sorts of outlets for your kids. But I'm grateful for my parents that they made the effort and wanted to do that. And one of the ways was Peniel. So 2012 was actually the first time that I went to camp. I thought about having some pictures. I thought about, you know, grabbing a picture from Brenna in 2012 and then kind of side by side with me in 2012. I think she's glad that I did not do that. I think she's just gotten more beautiful and beautiful each year. I look about the same, but I did not do that. Nonetheless, that was where things started for me when it came to camp. And so And Panaya was just a rich blessing for us. Moved through time, Panaya not only being an outlet, but a place where I could grow spiritually, create a place where I could grow emotionally, surrounded by peers, again, in settings that that I didn't have a lot of experience with. And so I grew the appreciation for the intentionality that a loving staff had in the scriptures, for what devotion to the scriptures looked like, even things all the way to, here's what a good schedule looks like, was so beneficial to me in those early years. And so I was growing spiritually, I was growing emotionally, and God used camp in those years to help with that. I did not grow a lot physically, I'm still working on that, but God has been very gracious through it all. And so, and then of course I met my wife at camp, and what an amazing gift that is, and blessing that was, and again, some full circle things that came as a result of that. So, and then even to come back and serve. That's an incredible blessing as well, to yes, be poured into by the staff that were there, and I'm thankful to a church like this that has partnered with the ministry there at Peniel and has faithfully served alongside. The full-time staff has contributed in many different facets, and there have been many churches like that, and even that was a learning experience for me as well. And so it is a whole new capacity. For me, Brent and I have been able to spend summers there, a counseling staff. I've been able to spend some weeks assisting my father-in-law doing various things, but now to come back and be there full-time is an incredible blessing. It's been, in a sense, a step of faith, which I would like to talk about in just a little bit, and how God has worked through that, and I think has grown us a little bit through that as well. But I will be the next program director there on camp. And so taking over some of that responsibility and activity, asking those questions, and being able to serve people in, like he said, like Isaac said, a unique way, and how that fits into a ministry that we want to be gospel-centric, gospel-powered, but yet how does it benefit these campers, how does it benefit these kids, these families, whatever the case. And that's an exciting thing. That's an exciting thing to think through. It's an exciting thing to do for the sake of Christ. And so I'm very, very excited for it. And again, God has continued to be very, very faithful. I'll tell a quick story about when I first started to gain an appreciation for the program. It was that first year of camp in 2012, and this is a bit of a silly story, but at least it's silly to me, but it kind of encompasses a lot of the things that go into it. I've never been to camp at this point in time. We're starting to get, you know, some of those registration letters come back, and it's out of the park. It's a baseball theme, and so we're getting prepped. And I don't know what's coming. I'm not familiar with Christian camp, and so my parents are sending me to a baseball camp. I mean, I like baseball. I like most sports, so I'm okay with it. But I'm green. I don't know what's going on. So I have a pair of cleats. I'll throw those in the bag. It was Grandpa's baseball glove, but I have a baseball glove, so I'll put that in the bag, but it seems like I'm not really well equipped for this. So we get to the week, and it doesn't really seem like that's what this is, and I'm kind of trying to figure things out, and I will say, I was present. I was present, trying to figure things out. My head was spinning a little bit, all these new people. I went with my brother, so we were kind of doing that together. So we're getting into the week, we're beginning to get accustomed a little bit, and then I hear we're going to like play a tournament. Like it's going to be like a baseball, some sort of baseball tournament, and I'm all right. So I've got to get my things together. I'm putting pressure on my counselor. Hey, I've got to get back to my cabin to get my baseball glove because we're like, it's time. This is what we're here for. And I didn't see everybody else bring their stuff up, so now I feel foolish because they must already have all their equipment up there. And so I guess I must have convinced him. He let me run back by myself. He probably shouldn't have done that. I get my baseball glove. I come running back. All right, we're ready. And, of course, I don't need it. I didn't need to bring all my own equipment, but I was there. And we play a game. It was sort of baseball-related. I didn't need my own things. And I was as plugged into the scriptures that week, I think, as I've probably ever been. certainly up to that point in my life. That was a pretty amazing thing. And to see how a well-functioning program can assist even a young person like me at that point to see much of Christ, especially when you're surrounded by people who are being faithful to the scriptures, who love Christ. That was a pretty unique experience for me, and the next time that theme came around was 2022. At that point, I was dating my wife, and we spent the whole summer serving as counseling staff that year at camp. Played the same tournament. I knew what was going on this time, and what a neat full circle thing even that was, and to look back at all those years even before that, and how God has continued to be faithful, and how he's just continued to use this ministry in our lives. And so I think when now Brenna and I look back, we can easily see why God has continued to stir up in us a love for the ministry, a love for the camp, and a desire to pour into people, young and old, the way we were poured into, to know much of Christ, to see God face to face. And so that's an exciting blessing. So that's kind of my anecdotal story a little bit, but I think it gives some good background a little bit as to why even I have appreciation for the program, why program is even beneficial to work like at camp. And certainly we want program to be something that, as I mentioned earlier, is ultimately supporting a gospel-powered ministry, not program that is so activity-centric that we're starting to get off track and miss the point. But yet it's a wonderful thing to be in a ministry where we believe what the scripture says, where it's the gospel that is the power of God for salvation. We're not trusting in our own devices. We want to be faithful to God and his word, and we're excited for that. And so that's the task before us for Brenna and I. And now we get to, and there's more full circle things with that. Brenna grew up as a camp kid. Now we get to have one of our own. God has blessed us with little Hazel, wherever she is. I guess she's exited the room, but that's an exciting thing. And so we're grateful for it. God has been faithful. God has been faithful through it all. So if there's one thing that I would want to give testimony to, it's the goodness and faithfulness of God this morning. And so I want to share also just something that God has used to encourage me during the past 2 years. And before that, I'll give a little bit of context. 2024 was when Brenna and I first were having some discussions to move back to camp. We got married in 2023 on camp, and we moved down to South Carolina. Now, when I was in college, much of my focus for majors, much of my focus for thinking through what is going to be my occupation, what is going to be my role when I graduate, was very materialistically minded. It was, is this going to be a lucrative career? Is this going to be a job with good status? Is this going to be something that's respected? And God threw all that out the window. It took time, but he threw all that out the window. Not that camp ministry isn't respected or there's no status. It's not very lucrative. But it did take a change of mind and a change of heart. And so I'm going through. Now, Brenna was the opposite. Brenna was, as soon as she got into college, this is what I'm going to do. And she had it mapped out. And God was very gracious to her in that way. This is what I'm going to do. These are the friends I'm going to have. This is what I'm going to eat each day. This is the schedule I'm going to keep. These are the extracurriculars. Like she just had it all mapped out. And that was just for whatever reason. Well, I know the reason, but that was vision that I didn't really seem to have. So when we got married, all that to say, she called me and said, you know, I found this really neat job in South Carolina where I can minister to girls, victims of trafficking, the thing that she really wanted to do. What should we do? And so then the onus goes to me to say, well, do I want to encourage her in that? And I'll go down and I'm going to certainly be working and I want to be a provider. Or do I say, no, I found this thing up here and I have this job here. Well, I didn't have the job here at the time. I was driving for Amazon, and so I said, "Well, let's go down to South Carolina." And it was a thing that God used to make the decision relatively easy. That Brenna had that clear vision, and God was still working on me a little bit. And in my mind, I'd be content doing many different things. And so we went down to South Carolina, and I continued to drive for Amazon, a job that I just finished, in fact. God, three separate times in my life, has given me the thing to do that I really don't like doing. And I never did like doing it, and yet it was, again, a demonstration of God's faithfulness that he continued to provide for me. He continued to allow me to be a provider for the family, and he continued to allow me to learn and be molded and changed in the ways that I needed to. And so we were in South Carolina for about a year and a half, and Brenna just poured into that ministry there. She poured into the ministry, and she could give more testimony of that. But when it came time to consider moving back to camp, that meant a lot of pieces had to fall into place. It had to be the right time for her to leave that ministry. Peniel had to take us on. We had to be kind of in lockstep, Brenna and I, of moving. We had to be able to even make the move, whether financially or otherwise. We had to, I'm going to talk in a minute about how God called Abraham out of, the call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and he says, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave what you know. And for us it was, go back to your country, go back to your kindred, go back to what you know. It's like, is this the test? In some sense. But that was the way God was moving us. And so that was the choice ultimately that was made, because again, God just continued to stir up in us that desire to be a part of that ministry. We would come back and visit the camp, and it just got harder to leave every time that we would visit the ministry. And so God continued to impress on us the desire to come back and serve and fill what we knew to be a need and a growing need there for the camp. And then God did what only God can do and put all those details into place. And not long or soon after that, we found out we were pregnant with Hazel. And so, well, praise God. This is pretty amazing timing to be able to go back. And not that God would not have provided for us there, but it has been such a blessing to begin to even raise her here. And again, God has continued to be so, so faithful to us. So I'm gonna pull from a verse in Romans chapter 4, because this has been a helpful verse that God has used, or a helpful context that God has used to encourage me. But let's set the stage. Genesis 12, I mentioned that just a minute ago. This is where Abraham is actually called. He first comes on the scene in Genesis 11. We at least see his name, Abram. Shouldn't say Abraham. This is pre-Abraham. This is Abram, and he's called in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse you. And in all the families of the earth, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God makes just huge statements to Abraham. And in verse 4, it says, so Abram went. I keep saying Abraham, I'll do better. So Abram went. That says a lot about, much about, who Abram saw as his God. We're going to go to Romans 4 and see the same thing, the position or the posture that Abram had before God. And we see in the scriptures, he believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. We're going to get into Romans 4 and see these themes of faith. And then we're going to see with Abraham, it was always the case. It was the same thing. He believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. And yet there are big statements that God makes to Abraham. Not only those statements of go, leave the things you know, leave the place you know, leave the people you know, go to the land that I will show you that you haven't even seen. But then he also says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I will bless you and make your name great. Abraham only does this because he has confidence in who his God is. He only does this because he knows his God is faithful and able to bring these things about. So then turn to Romans chapter 4, if you have your finger there. Paul is giving us one of the richest doctrinal books in the New Testament. He's unpacking this salvific narrative, this redemptive arc, chapters 1, especially through 11 of Romans. He's just come off chapter 3, where he gives us one of the most amazing summations of the gospel, that all have sinned and fallen short, are justified by his grace. Jesus is the propitiation to be received by faith. And now we begin to enter this theme of faith that he builds on in chapter 4. It's always been the case. This was the case for Abraham. It wasn't that he was justified by works. Now, that was the narrative at the end of chapter 3. What becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. It's not by works, but by faith. And Paul is giving some examples in chapter 4 as well of the things that Abraham in his life went through to demonstrate the faith that he had. God called. If you go into Hebrews 11 and you see that hall of faith, by faith Abraham, he went by faith Abraham, even to sacrifice his own son when God told him to. This is the man we are talking about. And so back to chapter 4. In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Abraham had the reasons. He had the reasons to doubt the things that God said, at least the tangible human reasons, the line of thought that we would be accustomed to. Paul uses the language as good as dead, describing his body. Sarah's well beyond childbearing age. I've been made these promises, but for these promises to come to a fruition, where's the offspring? And all these reasons that Abraham had to doubt, but it says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But the phrase that I want to lean into, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. I think the question, even the question that I had to think through when taking this step of faith, and to be also quite clear, the step of faith that, as I already mentioned, is to go out, go serve a camp, leave behind the typical job and salary, leave behind kind of the home that you've started, go back to the place you know and the people you know and all these things. Many people take, by our standards, much bigger leaps than that, much bigger steps than that, whether or deal with things that seem much bigger than that, whether it's the struggle, a personal struggle, a struggle or death of a loved one, or the conflict, or perhaps just a bigger life step that God is calling to. But yet for us at that time, that was a big step. And so the question became, is it the circumstance itself that is what grows my faith? Or is it the object of the faith as to why the faith grows? Or as to why that I have a faith that is functional at all? Was Abraham, did he have all the stuff? Was he just kind of, did he just have the superhuman faith? Did God just give him something a little bit extra that the rest of us don't seem to have? And so it was just, when God said, Abraham, go, I was, okay, no problem. Was it because of Abraham? Or does it ultimately speak to the goodness and the grace of God in Abraham's life? And this was some of the things that God has had to impress upon me. It's not a circumstance itself. Not that God does not use circumstances. He certainly does. To shape us, to mold us, to test us, to draw us closer to himself, and therein is the truth. The circumstance is just meant to, the event, the trial, whatever the case, is meant to point us back to Christ. Abraham's, again, his posture in this particular passage is one of giving glory to God. It doesn't necessarily say that all the things that he had to endure was why he was a patriarch, why he was a stalwart of the faith, or why he's just a chief biblical figure. He was growing in his faith because he was acknowledging who his God was because he was esteeming him as Lord. He lived a very gospel-powered life pre-Jesus, lived a very gospel-powered life without being able to hold the completed revelatory work of the Scriptures in his hands. Gospel-powered because ultimately it was faith in who God was and what he would do for Abraham. And so then, okay, well, I want this to be my posture in life, one that is constantly esteeming God as glorious, not being a part of the those in Romans 1 who commit this exchange. They exchange the glory for God for images resembling man, or they exchange the truth of God for a lie. It's not what Abraham does here. He's giving God glory. And in the process of giving God glory, he grows in his faith. Paul, when he's going through Romans, is writing down from chapter 1, especially through chapter 11, again, this rich doctrine. He's setting the stage, the sinfulness of man. He goes into that salvation summation. He talks about faith. He talks about grace. He talks about identity in Christ. He talks about the struggle or the God's grace and the struggle against sin nature. He talks no condemnation, all these things he goes through. And he gets to the end of chapter 11 and he says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. It was just an outpouring of doxology because of the incredible things that God had Paul writing down. And this is, would I not want every moment in my life to be a microcosm of that? That God is faithful, that God is good. And so I want my life, in its macroscopic sense, to be just an outflowing of doxology, testifying to the goodness and grace of God. And then when we're involved in a ministry, whether it's our local ministry at church, whether it's a ministry like camp, to put that on display, that others would see the heart, that they would actually be able to see the heart, a heart that is, like Abraham, a posture of surrender, being yielded over to Jesus. And that's what excites me about camp. Week in and week out, to be able to have that opportunity to minister to people, to serve people for the cause of Christ. And to be in that particular posture that is one of vulnerability, one of service, one of love, that says, and if we get past Romans 11, there's a phrase in Romans 12 that says, let love be genuine, that Paul gets to. In the KJV, I believe it's the KJV, let love be without hypocrisy. And there's many ways to, there's many ways to mask a genuine love. Whether it's tolerance, whether it is trying to be like this person over here, whether it's putting on kind of the stereotypical fake camp energy, even though we want to be energetic, but yet to truly let love be genuine and let people actually see your heart, which is a good challenge, but also a scary thing, because that means I need to check where I'm at, and am I pursuing Christ, and am I in this posture of glorifying God and worshiping Him as I rightly should? So God has used this passage in Romans to be very, very helpful to me in preparation for ministry, and seeing that through this time, through the past couple decades for us, through the past couple years for us, or the decade plus since camp came onto the scene for me, that he is faithful, and he has continued to be faithful, and because he's faithful, I can trust him. And so, with a program, then I want it to model these things, to be patterned ultimately to support the proclamation of the Scriptures, thus saith the Lord, because that's where the power is. The power is not in the program to save anyone, or an activity. It is ultimately in the gospel proclamation. So God has continued to be faithful for us. We began deputation in November, very end of November. And this was even a new, setting out on kind of a new, a very new thing. I mean, Brenna and I had seen it done to some extent. We had seen the missionaries go out and do it. Brenna had a little bit of experience with her parents, but this was also a new step. And so I then began to run through numbers in my mind. Here's what I think it would be good to get to. and or here's the leads that I think are here, and pretty quickly I'm, oh, here's my solutions to all these things, and yet God had to throw all those out the window and surprised us with many, many different things. And it was another demonstration of how God has just been so, so faithful, and I trust that I am continuing to come back to that same theme. So just to give you an update on that, we are about at 82% roughly of our goal, which far surpassed what I was hoping. And so God has been very gracious there as well. So camp has just been a massive, massive part of my life, of Brenna's life. We get to see that now in our own family. And I'm grateful that we can even serve alongside family as well. And that was another piece, you know, when we considered moving back from South Carolina, we had to weigh that as well. Like, well, do we want to go back, and is this the right timing to be near my family, because they're all in the area, to be near her family, and they're all in the area. And ultimately, that was a very attractive option for us, and God is blessed in that sense as well. And so I can pull this nugget and this nugget and this nugget and continue to speak to all the things that God has, all the ways that God has lavished grace on us, and certainly family is a part of that as well. So I'm grateful to churches like this one, as I mentioned, that partner with the camp, that partner with the ministry, and have done so faithfully for many, many, many years. And so thank you for that. Please pray for us as we continue on in our own ministry, especially with raising the young kids, learning that sort of balance. For me, learning the new role, I'm grateful that I do have Isaac there, and it's not just so thrown into the fire that I have to figure things out completely on my own, and I do get to ask a lot of those questions, and so I'm grateful for that, but yet pray that I would be faithful to these things, this sort of posture of worship and glorifying God in front of campers or just in my own private time. Pray that I would be an actual benefit and asset to the ministry in proclaiming the scriptures. And certainly for this first year, as unexpected things happen, unexpected challenges happen, that I would respond to things well, and be a good husband as well. Please pray for that. As I'm learning to love Brenna well, to manage time effectively, and that's a challenge. That's just a challenge with the ministry, and it's a challenge in summer months as well. And I'm grateful to have a wife who understands that and has been through it a lot more than I have. And that's a unique advantage that I have. And so please pray for these things, but we are thankful for how God has continued to provide for his faithfulness, that we can trust him. Finally, Psalm 136, His steadfast love endures forever is the title of that chapter. I'm very thankful for that psalm. Read through the psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. And it's that phrase over and over and over again, his steadfast love endures forever. Other translations, his mercy endures forever. Others say his faithful love endures forever. I'm glad that God's faithfulness is not bound by time, it's not bound by generations, and it's certainly not bound by whether I am faithful to him or not. He doesn't change. And Brenna and I have continued to see that in the good moments and the bad moments, even as we get involved with camp ministry. So I'm grateful for the encouragement from many of you, and I would like to certainly talk to those of you who I have not had the pleasure of meeting in between services, or we will certainly be here after the services as well. But thank you for listening, and let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that you do not change. I'm grateful that you have brought things about in such a way as only you can to save me from the pit, to by grace give me a new heart, and then sustain even me, even someone like me, Thank you that you have promised to, that those who you call, you have promised to conform to your image. Thankful for the many ways that we see, even in Scripture, that you are faithful. And I know that those in this room can testify in many more ways than I can of your goodness and faithfulness to them. But thank you that it is on full display, Father, in your written word, that you are faithful and that we can trust you. So thankful for how you provide for us. Thankful for the comfort that you bring to us. Thankful for the way that you sustain us and that you restore us back to yourself when we falter. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.